Greetings, Lynell. This is Bob Rouse, your host to the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guests today are adopted Slidellians, people who've come from a long, long way to be with us, and we want to welcome Darren and Fatuma O'Quinn. The reason I say they come from a long way because these great folks are missionaries in Uganda. So welcome. Glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, I've been excited to meet you. Some of your friends have been telling us about you. David and Grace Ziegler visited you over there, and they came back with so many glowing reports about what you're doing. I'm excited to hear. So tell us a little bit about your work, Darren.
Well, we have 106 children right now, and we start, most of them come from an Islamic background, but we get them from the police and the probation department. Some of them have come from really bad situations. They've been tortured. They've got scars all over them. But when they start living with us, we start teaching them about Jesus, the power of prayer, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit starts healing those wounds in their spirit and physically and their mind. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He really is the healer and the restorer. And He just uses me and my wife as vessels to further His agenda over there in Uganda.
Well, you said these kids come from various backgrounds. What ages do you get children into your place?
Okay, right now we have a year and a half all the way to 17 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
The little child. And, well, we have one that's it's a year, but he's our natural child. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And the oldest one, see, we also start taking them to school after they've been with us a few months and they start behaving right, because sometimes when they come from the streets, they're almost feral. They need to learn how to live in a family environment again. But after they do that, we start putting them in school, and we want them to be self-sufficient.
Well, it looks like you've got a self-sufficient compound, if you will.
We're trying to make it that way. We want to create revenue-generating projects, and that's the thing with the pigs. We hope and we pray that we're able to make some spicy sausage over there.
Yum. Mm. Looks like I need to make a trip to Uganda.
Praise God. Hey, you would be welcome. We would always make a place for you.
Well, that's wonderful. You brought your lovely wife, Fatuma, here with us today. And Fatuma, talk to us a little bit about the orphanage. What's your role there?
I work as a director or a founder because I've grown up on the street and I have that heart for street kids. So really it is not easy to work with street kids and orphanage and abandoned children, but with God's wisdom and love, we can do that.
Wonderful. And if those of you listening haven't gathered by Fatuma's accent, she is a Ugandan lady and the wife of Darren, has graciously agreed to talk with us today. So we're really glad you're here, and I enjoy your accent. It's wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You said you were raised on the street?
Yes, I was raised on the street. I went on the street when I was 8 years old, and I went off when I was 19 years old. So I spent most of my childhood on the street.
Wow.
Life wasn't easy, and every time I was there on the street, I felt like one day I will start a home for street kids, because the people who was taking care of us, always they were giving us daycare, but at night they were sending us away from the home. So I'm going to make a home for street kids. My plan was about street kids, like always to have them nighttime. During the day, I send them away. But it turned out that God wanted me to do it in another way.
So you have them all day and all night and all week and all month, and when they come to you, they become your children.
Yes, they were our children.
Yes.
That's why for our home, we don't have no age limit, because when you raise your child, you wouldn't like them. You wouldn't like to chase them away and say, hey, you are grown, please go away. So we always have them until God bless them. They get job or they get something to do. That's the day we will say, okay, bye-bye. Yeah. But always you will be welcomed to our home.
So the object is to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to prepare them for a productive life.
Yes, that's how wonderful. We do it.
Well, you know, I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you because I believe that the two of you, from what I know of your testimony and of your life, do what you do, not as a paying job, but out of the passion that Christ has placed in your heart for the love of other people. Did this happen, Darren? Was this something that you as a child saw yourself as being a missionary, going to Sunday school every Sunday and going with your parents to church? Or did you come up a different way?
You know, I was raised Missionary Baptist. I was raised in the church.
Good.
I confessed Jesus as my Lord when I was like 8 years old. But then I walked away from him, and I consciously walked away from him. And I started doing drugs and drinking alcohol and started lived a life of crime for most of my adult life. I was in and out of prison for 18 years. I just turned into a really bad person. Instead of the love, the joy, and the peace, the fruit of the Spirit that I had when I was younger, I lived with anger, hate, pain. And then November the 11th, 2005, that was when I was completely broken, and I just fell down on my knees and I cried out to God. He baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and while I was in segregation, I was in the hole. And he baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and he delivered me, and he gave me back my life. And from that point on, it has just been a journey, and it's really an adventure.
So this experience with Christ, this born-again experience, happened while you were in prison?
Yes, sir.
And then you found Christ in prison. You were born baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what happens now? You're in prison. You're in the hole. I assume that's solitary confinement. Is that where that
yes,
is?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what happened?
Well, I spent a year in the hole. I started talking to the chaplain. The chaplain would be coming, and he would bring me hymns, you know, like on the old rugged cross, just lots of old hymns he would bring me, and I would have concerts in my cell, and that's what got me through that year in the hole. What completely broke me was the judge finally told me, he said, you know, I'm going to lock you up for a very, very long time this time. And that's when I came back and I fell down on my knees and I said, oh, God, you know, I'm, you know, if you can't help me fix this, I just want to die. You know, please bring me home. I can't stand what I've done to my life. And I know that I did it to myself by the decisions and the choices that I made. Father, you did not do it. I did it. But Lord, just please help me. That's when I started reading the Word again and started talking about prayer and fasting. So that's what I started doing is fasting. And that's what led to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Was he delivered me through that fasting?
Well, that's amazing. I mean, it wasn't an inspirational sermon. It wasn't a motivational speaker. It was purely the Word of God, purely the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and calling you home.
Yes, sir. And brokenness. You know, I had a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. And you know that those are things that he will not despise. My life before that was consciously walking away from God. But I was still his child. And he still reached down and he pulled me up out of that miry pit. And he set my feet upon that rock. And that rock's name is Jesus. And Jesus truly is my master. I cultivate a relationship with him. He is life, and not only life, but an abundant life. I'm living out Joel 2:25. He says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the caterpillar, the cankerworm, my great army, which I sent against you. And that's what he's doing. Over the last 10, 12 years, he has been restoring me. He's given me a wonderful wife. He's given me 106 children to love and to teach about him and to pray with. And he's also given me a child of my own, that's baby James. Sweet baby James is what we call him. And I mean, I'm living an abundant life. I get to go and minister the gospel.
Well, you know, just looking at your eyes, you know, they're full, they're sparkling, your eyes are alive. And it's hard for me to see you as this guy in solitary confinement, you know, cursing God, angry, frustrated, bitter, fussing with the judge, that who is this guy I'm talking to? Where did he come from?
There's one word, Jesus.
Amen.
He redeemed me.
Amen.
And he's faithful and true. He is the only way to God the Father. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It has to be about Jesus.
So you found Jesus in 2005.
Yes, sir.
Shortly after, what did you do? You got out of prison, and what did you do?
I went through an alcohol and drug program. It was a year program. It was called the San Diego Rescue Mission.
Okay.
And what it was Christian-based. I was there for a few months. Then they started teaching me. I went to work there. And then I went out and got my own jobs. When I graduated, I got my own apartment. Then after that, I started working in corporate housing. And I started making a lot of money. But I was going to a lot of fellowships, a lot of worship services, spirit-filled worship services. And I was attending this house church, and the opportunity came to go to Uganda. And so I started putting money down on that trip. When it came time for the trip, I said, you know what, I'm making so much money now, you know, just you give that money to somebody else and let them go. So they went, and I missed that chance. And I'd gotten my passport and everything. Then I continued working that job. And I started getting frustrated and angry on the job, and I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, where's this frustration and anger coming from? You know, what do you want me to do? I don't like this. You know, that still small voice, he said, quit. And I said, Lord, that's not you. I've got all these bills now. I've got this lease. I've got rent. I've got car note.
Sure
I got insurance.
Enough.
So I kept working the job. So a couple of months went by. I continued to get frustrated and angry, and I said, hey, Lord, what's going on? And he said, quit. And I said, man, Lord, what about all these bills? But then I quit, and I said, Lord, what about all these bills? And he said, don't worry, I got it. And I find him to be faithful. You know, when he says, go, and lo, I will be with you even until the end of the age, he's telling the truth. If he gives you a desire for the mission field or a desire to serve him, even here, wherever you're at, he's going to be faithful and true. He's going to come through for you because
Amen.
That's who he is. He is the I Am.
So this trail then takes you. You go to Uganda, and you meet a beautiful young woman and begin a new life.
Well, I met her the first time. She was a translator for the team that I went with. I went the first time. I was supposed to be there for 2 weeks. I wound up being there 3.5 months. And I met her, and, you know, it was like she was nice. She was just my friend. You know, we just got to be friends, and we both loved Jesus. And then when I was coming back to America that time, the Lord said that I would be going back. And I got a job in San Juan Capistrano in California, and I started praying into that. I said, Lord, how about some confirmation? Can I get some confirmation that I'm going to go back? And it was either that night or the next day, a friend of mine called me, and he said, hey, brother, what are you doing? And I said, well, I told him what I was doing. And he said, well, next time you're in San Diego, come visit me and my fiance. We've got something for you. So that next day, I was going to a worship service in San Diego, and he said, went and sat with him and his fiance, and we talked, and then when it was time for me to go, his fiance hands me an envelope. She says, well, you don't have to open that right now, but he hugged me, and he says, brother, that's $1,000 for Africa, and
wow.
Everything just started coming together, and I went back over there, and I spent a year there. I started working with her a little bit. I saw that they might have a need for some chickens and some eggs for all those children, so I emailed a pastor back in California, and I said, Lord, you know, I believe a chicken project would be wonderful for this children's home. And he says, write up a proposal and I'll submit it to the ministry board. And he came back, and 2 weeks later, well, a week later, they cut us a check and they sent the money, and we put that chicken house together, and we got 500 chickens, the feed and the medication.
Awesome.
I don't think it was that time that I asked her to marry me, but I believe it was the next time that I asked her to marry me, and the Lord just blessed me.
You've got me so excited about Fatuma. I need to hear from her. So let's talk with Fatuma and see how the Lord brought her into the picture. Fatuma, how did the Lord order your steps? What was the path you took to find this crazy man in Africa who was asking for chicken? How did the Lord deal with you, and what path did you take to get to that end?
result.
You know, when God wants to do something, He always do it. As I started and said that I grown up on the street. When you grown up on the street, you know that you know nothing except stealing and doing other things which is not good. So as I grown up over there, on my 19th years, I got pregnant. And as I got pregnant, the people who was taking care of us as a street kids, they told me, this is your time to get a room to sleep in because you won't sleep outside as you were pregnant. So they got me a room, and it was like 2 years when I got my baby. My baby was a baby. So into my room sleeping, I had a dream about Jesus. He came, and He was taking many people. And I shouted to Him, I was, Jesus, you are taking them. How about me? So into His voice, He told me that you are not mine. I wake up. I didn't take that dream or took it like a serious dream. But the next day, that day was Friday, I can't forget, because this came like Jesus wanted me to believe in Him. The next day was Saturday. I was into my room, like around 3. I got this voice on my wall saying that, get saved. And I was, get saved, what does that mean? It was kind of strange because I was alone into the room. What is this? So again, I didn't took it. And I wasn't taken anything, like I'm out of my mind. But I didn't know about voices and anything. Like an hour later, I heard again the same voice. This was like a bit loud to me, which told me that tomorrow go and get saved. And I was, now I know I am in my right mind. I heard the voice clear. Really, I felt like I have to get saved. I didn't know what is the save, getting saved or being saved, what it means. But I need to find out what is it. So I started to prepare myself. I knew those born-again Christian people around our area. And I'm going to meet that pastor, tell him that I'm here to get saved. So I went into the church on Sunday. I ironed my dress, smart, dress up my child. I went to church and I told him. Really, I didn't even go with my boy. I left him at home because I knew I'm going to get saved then. That is it. I went to the church and I told the pastor, I'm here to get saved. And they told me to wait until the service is over. I was, no, I'm here to get saved. So they got a mat, made me to kneel down, and they made me confess, prayed for me. They told me I'm now saved. So after that, I walk away because that's what I was required from the voice I had.
And how did you feel about life? How did you feel different after you prayed that prayer, or was it just the same? It was just something.
Really, on that very day, I didn't felt like there is something on me. I just, as usual. And I continue to walk into my life as I was, but always on Sunday I was going to church. And I didn't know why, but on Sunday I was always prepared for church. After church, I go night clubbing. But one day, this is what happened. Because when I got saved, I told each and everyone, my neighbors, they were Muslims. They wanted me to know about Muslim religious, and I was telling them I'm saved. My friends whom I used to go with, I told them I'm born again Christian now. But one day I was into the nightclub, and one of my friends told me, hey, Fatuma, you told us that you got saved. Why are you doing here? This place is not your place. You belong to church now. So that friend of mine, he wasn't even born again, but he took away something. I don't know if it was the angel who speak through him, but really he removed away. Something was covered my eyes, and I started to see that I don't belong in any evil things.
Somebody suggested, told you, you don't belong here. And it was like something fell from your eyes. So
yes,
you could, now
that is
you,
the day
you
I felt,
could see.
Yeah, that is the day I felt like something was washing me. Oh. Let me say, like, I felt the presence of God into the nightclub. And I walk away. One of my friends came on my door asking me what happened. I was, no, I'm okay. I started to ignore each and everything. I started to move away from my friend. I wasn't fellowship with them. I started to go to church. My baby, by that time, every time we were bathing, he didn't know that someone can bathe and stay home. Always he was, Mommy, are we bathing? We are going to church. So he knew, because every time we bathe, it was evening, we were going to the fellowship at our church. So he knew someone who get bathed. Exactly, you have to go to church.
What a great picture, being washed and made clean.
Yeah.
So you could be with your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
So you got saved. The Lord removed something from your eyes so you could see spiritually where you were. Sometime later, you met Darren, huh?
Yeah. So after that, really, I involved into church meeting, into like in the work of God. I wanted, as I got saved, this is what happened. I wanted each and every street kids to know about my Jesus, because Jesus helped me. Like, I thought my life will change for 10 years or more for many deeds I did, but really he just changed me like that. And that is how I felt I have to start a ministry. But it was outreach. Go outreach on the street kids, tell them about Jesus. And some of them got saved. But then there is another things which happened. I believed in Jesus, and I still believe in him, that he can do everything. Has he changed me? Has he changed me? Like that, quick, more than I felt. I can't get anything from this man. So I started to ask things which you think it is not there. But for me, it is there if I have Jesus. I wasn't someone who can speak any word in English. So I want to tell you why I came to meet this man. So I wouldn't speak any word in English, and I was in at our church. Always there were some white people who came to visit, and some people they go and translate them. So I felt like I need Jesus to fill me with that kind of gift. It is not easy to think like that, but as I told you, always I was asking for something. I have many testimonies about where Jesus got me. But after that, I went into the room. I told Jesus, this time I want to translate white people. I don't know how it will happen, but I want. So I raise up my hands. Wonders, visitors, they were coming into my church. I told them, I want to be one of the translators for this time. Everyone laughed at me because they knew that nothing I can say. You don't know any word in English. How can you translate a white people? But people can laugh or can say something. But as you know your God, you can do more. I went into the room, pray and fast for 3 days. After that, God filled me with the tongue of the Holy Spirit, and he anointed me with English. I know it is not easy to believe, but this is what Jesus did to me. The people came, and I joined them. It wasn't easy for me to join them, But I joined them. I founded in that group. There was one lady who was with a lot of children, and I was, this is the time for me to practice my English. Because I came into the bus, they were knowing that I'm not going to speak any word because I don't know English. But for me, as I was going with them, I was, God, today is the time for me to test my faith because I asked you and I know you have filled me. I never knew when I was in prayer and fasting that he filled me with the Spirit of English. I went to this lady. I wanted to practice it in faith. I went because I knew only one word. Oh, like 2-3 words. But always in Uganda, any child knew, hi. I went to the lady and say, hi. She was fine. She wanted me to translate. And I started to translate her.
Wow.
I didn't know that I was translating her, but really, God used me to glorify his name. After I did, she was, thank you so much. You are the best translator I ever had in my life. I was in tears. But this lady went on telling other people, she is the best translator. The team she came with, she told them she is. So I started like that to translate teams and teams and teams. So in one of those teams, Darren came. I translated him. Some people, they don't know. I don't tell them my testimony, but really, that is where God brought me from. And he taught me how to speak English. I know I'm not perfect because it is not my language. And when I make a mistake, I'm like, maybe heaven is making mistake. So, yeah, I got it from heaven.
Well, Fatima, yeah. what a wonderful testimony of God's grace and mercy and his provision.
Yeah, he is always.
Amen. He brought you together with a common vision. A vision of taking care of other people, a burden to sow back into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
The things that I guess you could say were missing in your life, huh? That you allowed God to work through you for your own 106 children. That's an amazing number.
And he has been doing great things into our life and in those children. Really, sometimes we get a child and the people who give that child to us, they know that they will never change. They think like, no way you can change that child. The way that child walked through, but the same people are the ones who say, thank you so much for the work you do, because really we see what you are doing is great.
Well, you know, I can see that you're both people of passion. Education is good, it's wonderful, it's important. But, you know, God gives us what we need when we need it.
When you ask for it.
For your ministry, for your place, for your situation, he provided both of you, one in solitary confinement. I mean, who was there to tell you, to convince you, but the Holy Spirit? And you asked, I need to be saved.
Yeah.
And then blessed with a whole new world of life, with a language that opened up tremendous doors for you. And now to be able to minister to these 106 children, as you said earlier, not only to take care of their daily needs, but to prepare them for a full life after the orphanage.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So Darren, where do we go from here? What's next for you guys?
We've purchased some land, and we plan to build. Right now we're leasing, but we plan to, with God's provision and God's help, we plan to build a facility for 120 to 140 children. By the grace of God, it will happen within the next year. We have close to 3 acres of land. It's a work in progress. And it really is like here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But as we walk and as we draw closer to God, we pray about everything that's needed. And the children, we have prayer circle every morning starting at 5 a.m., And they pray for everyone over here that sows into this ministry. They pray for, for what we need. They pray for peace for our home. They pray for each other. But the Lord just, He answers those children's prayers. He answers our prayers. And we just start lifting things up to Him, and He starts providing. And He, it's His work. These are His children. You know, He's just blessed us to be allowed to minister to them and to help raise them in love.
Well, you know, an amazing story. An amazing story of two people who found Christ as adults and decided to get back into the kingdom of God. Just amazing people with an amazing testimony. If there are those who are listening to us today who would like to sow into this ministry, how can they do that?
We have a website. It's loveandcareforall.org. Loveandcareforall.org.
And on there is a place people can give money. They can learn more about, they can see pictures, learn more about your ministry.
Yes, sir.
At this website.
Yes, sir. We also have a message button. So anytime someone has prayer requests or anytime they want to communicate with us, they just click on that link and they can email us.
Well, I tell you what, I think I might do that myself. What Fatoum is talking about, listen, praying like that and getting an answer, yeah, I'm into this.
Hey, we have many hallelujah moments. Yeah, amen.
Yes. Amen, amen. Well, you guys are amazing. It's been just a real pleasure to talk with you today and to hear what God has done in your life. I'm glad for the ministry, but I'm so happy just for you, just to see what He's done in your life, that He's redeemed you, that He's cleaned you up. He's put you in a good place. You take a bath before you go to church.
Amen.
You guys are just amazing, and I'm so honored to be able to speak with you today. Is there anything else, one last word you'd like to leave with us as we get ready to close this up?
You know, just that Jesus loves us all, whether we're saint or whether we're sinner, but He desires that all of the sinners in the world come to know Him and have an intimate personal relationship with Him and God the Father and Holy Spirit. And also, we would like to thank you so much for inviting us to this radio program. It's been a true blessing to meet you and to speak on your program.
Well, thank you so much. I'm sure the blessing is ours. Fatoum, thank you for being here. And you're a woman of prayer, powerful woman of prayer. And I'd ask you, just would you pray for us? That the Lord's will may be done in all of our lives.
Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for today. Thank you for all of our listeners. Thank you for what you do in this area. Father, you know that this is not the only day we have been praying for Louisiana, but ever since I came over here, me and our family, we have been praying for this area so that God, you will restore everything which the enemy took. Father, turn it into good way. Father, bless the people over here. Let them be a blessing. And open their eyes as you opened my eyes one day for them to see you. Father, meet them in the day which they don't even expected you to meet them, as you meet me, Lord. Father, I pray for the children over here to be free and to have life in you, Father. I pray that touch in many peoples and save them in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, Fatouma, Darren, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We're honored and blessed to have you with us. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment, send us a text. And if there's something that Darren or Fatouma said today that touched your heart, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can also like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and check out on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this station. We need the support of folks just like you. And again, the number to call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.